May I speak in the name of God, whose Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Choices have consequences, someone said. But we do make choices so often, every day, every time we do decide, we make choices. Like this morning, we have made quite a number of choices before we came here. Probably made a choice on what you're going to have for breakfast, what you're going to wear, given whether you're coming to church today. That was a good choice coming today, thank you. But there are so many other choices that we do make in life. For instance, by a show of hands, how many enjoy football? Well, I'm surprised there's someone who has a jersey and doesn't enjoy football, but that's really good, that's all right. Those who enjoy rugby, see, there we go. Yeah. Dogs. A dog. Cats. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Milk fast. Tea fast. See, choices. We all make them, either consciously or unconsciously. Actually, one of the most interesting choices that people are having to make in this information age is what to watch on television. I understand a while back there were only 4 television channels, and then came a fifth one, that's why it's called Channel 5, I understand. But nowadays you have Netflix, you have Disney Plus, you have Prime, that contain endless catalogs of things to watch. And one of the complaints that I've heard from quite a number of people is that we are spending quite a lot of time in front of our television screen just choosing what to watch. I don't know whether this has happened to you. Sitting down wanting to watch a film, but you spent almost half an hour going through the catalog, just choosing what it is that you may want to watch. Only to realize that it is quite late now and you cannot even watch that film, and switching to something else. That is what the readings this morning present to us. Choices. First of all, we do have Joshua. And we meet Joshua in this passage at his old age, having lived life, having seen quite a lot of things. And in the reading, he does explain some of the things that he has lived through. Some of the things that God has enabled him to accomplish. And at the end of his speech to the people, he invites them to make a choice. He invites them to choose. And of course, he starts by telling them their history, the history that they knew very well, of how God had delivered them from Egypt, of how God had promised them a beautiful land flowing with milk and honey, and how God had delivered them using Moses, and how Moses was not able to step into the promised land, and how Joshua led them into the promised land, and how Joshua was able to divide the land equally among all the tribes of Israel. And he reminded them that in him the promise of God was fulfilled, being delivered from Egypt and being settled in that land that they called the promised land. And of course, he might just have been saying that in just a few verses as we have read. But in terms of history, this is something that took more than 500 years. A story that began with a little boy being sold by his brothers to a foreign land. This young boy grows to become one of the most important persons in that day and era, saving the lives of millions, not only by interpreting the king's dream, but running a food program that delivers food to millions of people. After 500 years of their history, God finally delivers them. And as I was just reading what Joshua was saying to his people, I just paused there and it just struck me. And it just made me wonder, for how long have we been waiting for the salvation of God? For how long have we been waiting for something to happen in our lives? For these guys, it was more than 500 years. I mean, I would love to live for that long, but I'm not sure if that's possible at this day and age. But you never know. But the key thing is that God still fulfilled his promise. God still came through for them. And it just served as an encouragement to me as I was reading these verses, that I know that there are quite a number of things that we have been praying for. Ourselves, family member, relative, neighbors. And still we do not see any change or anything. I will just want to encourage you with the words of Isaiah that says, "Say to the weary ones that your Lord will come and save you. He will surely come and save you." And the story of what Joshua says is a testament that our God is a promise keeper. He is a God who will fulfill his promise. But that's just the context of what Joshua was inviting people to choose. And at the very end, he says unto them, "Well, today you do have a choice. You have seen what God has done for you, what he has done for your ancestors, and what he has done to bring you to this very point. Now it's up to you to choose. Who are you going to serve?" Well, having just reflected on that, we could say, well, it's pretty obvious. You know, the God who delivered a promise, why would we not serve him? Why would we not follow him? But that brings us to the gospel reading today. And this last few weeks, we have been reading about that beautiful story of how Jesus fed a crowd of more than 5,000 people with just fish and bread, a tuna sandwich, if you would like. And he just fed them. And they enjoyed and they loved this meal so much that even when Jesus went over to the other side of the lake, they still followed him. In fact, they wanted to make him king over them. And Jesus made these declarations and taught them and said to them, "I am the bread of life. Forget the bread that you had the other day. If anything, even forget the bread that your ancestors ate while they were in the wilderness. I am the bread of life." And of course, he goes ahead to say, "Well, my body is that bread, and it's my blood that you have to drink." And I think at that particular point, everyone was just a little bit confused and wondering, what is Jesus really saying? Inasmuch as he was using these words figuratively, his listeners did not take it kindly. And I just do love the words that John writes down as a response of the people. They said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can follow it? Who can listen to it? It is difficult. This is too much." In other words, saying, well, Jesus, the fish and the bread, that was really, really cool. That was amazing. We really loved that. But this other thing you're telling us to do, this is where we draw the line. This is where, no, we cannot go past this. Those who came and listened to Jesus and heard this word, those whom Jesus was challenged, fundamentally, their point of view was that they had come to Jesus to get something from him. Probably he will do another miracle. We will have some other bread. He will heal us. But when it came to suffering for him and giving to him, then they turned their back. They quit. The key lesson here is that those who follow Jesus must remember that following him, there is always a cross to bear. And that cross is not easy. It's difficult. It's not just following Jesus for the wonderful and the lovely times. It is all the time. When things are good and when things are bad. When there is sunshine, when there is none. And yes, it is difficult. And yes, the teachings of Jesus are indeed difficult. But this is what we ought to live by. This is a Savior that we ought to follow. And if you thought that him saying, you know, eat my body and drink my blood is more difficult, let me just run you through a couple of some of his other teachings. One that he was teaching and said, when someone hits you on one cheek, turn your other cheek. How easy is that? Or if someone takes your coat, give him even your tunic. Or if someone wrongs you, how many times are you supposed to forgive them? Just once, twice? Is that enough? He says no. Not just seven, not just 70. 70 times 7. Goodness me, if someone wronged you 490 times, that's really, really someone, yeah, something interesting about their character, but there we are. Or what about that other teaching that he says, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Having worked very hard to be on the in the front of the queue, all of a sudden, Jesus just hits the reverse button, and the guy who was last in the queue just becomes the first one. It's like when you go to a supermarket and you know they're just those queues, you know, and then you just hear ding, you know, a cashier has opened on that side, and which is, you know, interesting. Oh, what about that other one that he says, forget about everything, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That's the first thing to seek, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Or what about his conversation with that young gentleman who was very wealthy, when he was told, sell everything that you own, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. That's difficult, isn't it? Everything you have worked for, sell it, give it to the poor. Or maybe what about one that is not so difficult? One that we could all try. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just love. Love. This is a choice that we have in front of us. It is difficult, yes. But we have to make a choice. At the end of his conversation, Joshua made a choice. And he said to them, this is what God has done. I do not know about yourself, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When everyone else left, and Jesus turned to his disciples, the 12 of them, and said, are you also going to leave as well? Has it become too difficult for you as well to carry on with this journey? Peter made a choice and said, to whom can we go to? They chose Jesus. We have all made choices today. We will continue making choices in our lives. But one of the most important choices that you will ever have to make in your life is a choice of, are you going to be a follower of Jesus? Because this is a choice that we all have to make at one particular point. Who are we going to follow? Who is going to be our master? Who is going to be our Lord. This day, difficult as it might be, I invite you to follow Jesus. I invite you to follow Jesus. And I do like what Paul describes in his epistle today about the full armor of God, as if in realization that it is indeed quite a difficult thing to be a follower of Jesus. And he goes ahead to give us an armor that we can be able to use to navigate through this difficult fellowship or discipleship of Jesus Christ. Prayer being one of the things that we can use to withstand and we can be able to use to go through these difficult times. Righteousness, the word of God, the helmet of salvation, the Spirit of God. As if telling us that yes, it is difficult, but we are not doing this on our own. We are doing this together with the Lord. So this day, as you choose what you're going to have for your Sunday lunch, remember, choose Jesus as well. Amen.